global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. Stocks are trading higher, and this update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Stocks do remain higher ahead of that speech by Fed Chair Janet Yellen. We will have it for you live coming up at 4 o'clock Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Investors are assessing Friday's weaker-than-expected employment data. Oil prices, they are rallying for the ninth session in 10. West Texas Intermediate crude up 80 cents, 53.04 on WTI. That is a gain there of 1.5%. Gold, lower a little changed. It is down $1.50 now at $12.55, a drop there of 0.1%. The 10-year up 7/32, the yield 2.36%. S&P up 6 at 23.61, up 0.3%. Dow Industrials up 50, a gain of 0.2%. NASDAQ up 13, also a gain of 0.2%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Thank you very much, Charlie Pellett. It is 11:48 here on the West Coast, 2:48 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Barry Ritholtz, a columnist for Bloomberg View. The Glass-Steagall Act is back in the news. Repealed in 1999, it's found a new champion in White House economic advisor Gary Cohn. Glass-Steagall came about following the Great Depression to divide banking into two halves. Main Street banks handled lower-risk activity, such as savings and checking accounts, personal and commercial loans, and mortgages. Wall Street banks handled the more speculative side of capital, trading, underwriting, M&A, IPOs. The purpose of Glass-Steagall was to act as a firebreak between Wall Street and its appetite for risk and Main Street and its demand for safety. Repealing it removed that firebreak, allowing Wall Street excesses to spill over into Main Street. A new Glass-Steagall may be something that conservatives and liberals can each embrace. I'm Barry Ritholtz. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to Bloomberg.com/view or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Also at 5:48, 8:48, 11:48, all Wall Street time. Jason Gerlach joins us right now as the president of CalAlts, looking for some opportunities at a non-traditional alternative investments. Jason, this is such an interesting time because we've had underperforming hedge funds for many years. On average, hedge funds have underperformed indices. They've certainly had higher expenses, which many, include, not least of which Warren Buffett, have railed against in recent months. And yet, you also have really tight correlation, which is an environment in which they tend to look bad, and correlation seems to be falling apart. So should we be looking at hedge funds again as alternatives, or should we be running the other way?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much. It's a privilege to be on the show. You know, the headlines extolling the problems with hedge funds are sexy, and everyone loves it when Warren Buffett bashes the industry. But the bottom line is this. The industry hit $3 trillion under management for the first time ever in January. So someone's buying hedge funds, and there's a reason for that. And I think there's still value to be had in hedge funds, even if absolute returns have not been where investors want them to be over the last several years, and that's diversifying your book. I mean, put simply, hedge funds are often going to deliver when you need them to deliver the most. It's hard to imagine that scenario when we've had the run-up in stocks that we've had over the last 7 or 8 years, but the smart investors know that if you keep some solid alternatives in your book at all times, you're going to be rewarded when crisis hits or when we have a 20 or 30% reversal in the stock market.
And that crisis will hit anytime soon, from your opinion, Jason?
You know as well as I do. Statistically speaking, the stock market is certainly due for a correction, if not worse. This bull run has gone on for a very, very long time. When it's going to happen, who knows? Our view at CalAlts and with my own firm that I run, Sunrise Capital Partners, is that you should have a component of your portfolio dedicated to alternatives at all times, because you don't know when it's going to happen. And typically, investors race for the phone to allocate to alternatives after the crisis has hit, when it's too late.
So are you talking about long, short, or short biased in equities in particular?
At Cal Alts, our focus is on all alternative investments. So hedge funds are a big tranche of what we do. But it's all types of hedge funds, whether it's event-driven, macro, equity long, short, or otherwise. But we also have a big segment of our population that's interested in private equity, and another that's interested in real estate, and another that's interested in, fintech, and other ways to add pieces to your portfolio that aren't going to necessarily belong to the economy, like your stocks and your stock portfolio would be, and therefore give you the diversification when you need it most.
Diversification, you can look towards merger arbitrage. That's event-driven strategy is something you were talking about. I mean, we've got a bit of M&A on today. We've just been talking about the AT&T deal. What if you're expecting no crisis to erupt, is that when M&A comes off the table? Where are you looking towards some of your clients when they're looking at merger arbitrage and globally speaking as well?
Well, you know, at Cal Alts and at my firm Sunrise, we're a macro player, and I'm most qualified to tell you about macro strategies and when you should have those in your portfolio. Our argument is at all times, at all times. Historically, a flagship strategy like the one we run has a correlation to the S&P 500 of about 0.2. So what that tells you is that whenever stocks are going to underperform, whether it's over the next quarter or in 3 years from now, if you have something like what we do in your portfolio, your odds of getting better results than someone who's simply long stocks are going to be better. As far as which strategies to have, you know, that's something investors should discuss with their respective advisors. I think it's a fool's errand to try and time different strategies. I think you get a diversified book of different alternatives. You set 20% of your portfolio, maybe 15%, maybe some people get a little frisky and go to 30%. You put that sector of your portfolio into a diverse basket of alternatives,
right,
and you're going to be a happier person 5 years from now, and you're going to be a happier person 10 years from now. Because what you're going to see in your portfolio is better risk-adjusted returns, less downside volatility, and a better overall outcome. And that's really what this game is all about.
People do get frisky, though. And to that, I mean, the rules of the game have changed, right? That 2 and 20 is not the standard rate for new investments these days. But liquidity is also something. Do you look to have more liquidity, say, you know, the funds that used to be able to say you got a 1 year lockup, or you only have quarterly liquidity? Will you accept terms like that if you like the numbers?
I think any alternative manager in this day and age needs to be flexible. You need to see who's investing, how much capital are they giving you, how much time are they willing to commit that capital for, what are the overall benefits to your business, and then you have to make a business decision, you know, and look at your costs and all those other things. I think it's a case-to-case study. It is absolutely true that 2 and 20 is not the standard. I don't know if it ever was the standard, frankly. That may be, you know, one of those urban myths. I do know this. The average hedge fund management fee is still a little bit north of 1.6, based on something I read quite recently. And the average incentive fee or performance fee is north of 16%. So it's still a very lucrative business for folks to be involved.
But below the Mendoza line, if you would, opening day in San Francisco, I want to use as many baseball references during the show as possible.
Sure, of course.
Even if it's going to be baffling to my UK colleague here.
Educate me.
Of course. There's still excellent managers out there that are commanding 2 and 20 or more. And there are managers that are willing to take less. And I think it's not about the fees. Again, it goes back to constructing intelligent portfolios. And the only way you're going to do that is if you say, all right, I'm going to have my stocks, I'm going to have my bonds, I'm in real estate, and then I'm going to have a slug here for things that are going to act differently.
There you go. Jason, we got to go there. Jason Gerlach, president of CalArts. You're listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg.